tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Jim A. from San Diego.
My name's Jim, and I'm an alcoholic. And you guys knew I was coming, so you got me the pedestal, I see. Now I've been put on the pedestal. I got three things in my life that are really important to me. One of them is my sobriety date, which is July 6, 2003. My other one is my home group, which is La Mesa Men's. And the third one is my sponsor, which is Dave D. And so far, none of those things have had to change in my life. And I'm standing before you with just slightly over 4 years sobriety. It was a hard road to get here because I wasn't doing what was suggested out of the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Give you a little background, what I was like. Part of this is hearsay, because I don't remember it. We'll start with the fact that I started drinking when I was 3 years old, regularly. My dad, I don't know if he was an alcoholic or not, but he drank a lot. And he drilled a hole in a refrigerator and put a tap in it, and then he put Dixie cups on the side, which I knew were for me. So what I understand had happened was I decided to drink until I passed out, starting from the age of 3. My dad found out about it and thought it was funny, so nobody made it quit. So I had a taste for alcohol from a very early age. I quit drinking when I was 42, which means that's about when I quit peeing my pants. You know, it's kind of crazy the way things progressed. I went to high school, and my senior year, my stepfather was in the Navy, and I couldn't put up with him anymore. So I got a small little job, and I moved into a trailer across the street from the high school. Now, as a good alcoholic, all of my friends would come over before school, and we'd drink. I don't remember my senior year hardly at all. I don't remember taking my finals. I think I graduated from high school because they did not want me back. The day I graduated from high school, my stepfather said, "I'm being transferred. What are you going to do?" And being the defiant pain that I was, he was in the Navy, so naturally I joined the Marines. Now, you've got to remember, I think rite of passage in the Marines is drinking. So I basically did that for 4 years, where they said, "Thank you, no thank you, please don't come back anymore." I got out with an honorable discharge, but they didn't want to have anything to do with me after that. I mean, if you had been caught with drugs and got kicked out, you would have got a better exit number than I got. Okay? So that's the way my life progressed. I'm about 20 or 21 years old, and I average a job every 3 or 4 months for 20 years. It's got to be their fault, don't they understand? I needed that money to drink, or I wouldn't have taken it out of the till. I'm living off of her, I'm stealing that, I'm doing this, I'm going there. I suck my life up next to anybody who's actually functioning, even remotely functioning, like my family. So I end up in Oklahoma, okay, in the middle of no place, in a town that the only thing they have is the Conoco oil refinery. That's it. 3 gas stations, a grocery store, and an oil refinery, and there's 10,000 people. Now, there's nothing for you to do except drink or go to church. I tried church, I'll just drink. I got to the point where I had friends of mine getting in trouble, and I still had a driver's license, so I would drive them to court. And the district attorney or the police chief would go, "That's Jim so-and-so. We know him. We've got our eye on it." And know me by sight, even though I hadn't been in their courtroom, because of the actions I was taking and just hadn't gotten caught yet. So we do another geographic. I end up out here finally. I've moved out here because my life has completely fell apart, horribly. Oh, let me back up. Oklahoma's a really good place to learn to drink. You have to manage well. The county I lived in was a dry county. 9 to 9, Monday through Friday, only in an ABC store, nothing cold, nothing that wasn't a case or a bottle. You couldn't buy mixer, ice, or an opener. That was somewhere else. So you learn to drink really well. Figure it out. Keep it on hand. And if you run out, I found out from a bunch of friends of mine that were Indians that used to come into the convenience store I worked at, that if you take a gallon of milk and a gallon of gas, that'll get you through till morning. I am not kidding. You can drink gasoline. My home group, they call me high octane. I can't stand the smell of gas, but I have drank it. So, I progressed till I got here and sucked off my family again. They moved. Everybody lived in Oklahoma. They moved. I ended up moving here with them. Then I went. No, actually, they moved to Denver, and I moved there. Then they moved here, and I took a hostage and got married and had kids, and got divorced, and didn't see my kids, and wasn't going to pay my child support, and wasn't going to do what I was supposed to do, and then I came out here, and I have a brother that's got to be the most kind, loving human being on the planet. The only thing he ever said to me was, "Are you done yet?" Now, he did put a security door on his house and lock it and go away for a week, so I couldn't like mooch off of him after 3 years. Okay, because I got to live there for 3 years rent free, and he just got tired of it, and I finally got locked out. And there's a note on the door that says, "When you're done, call me." It wasn't long. I have a very low tolerance for no showers and no food and stuff like that. I'm real chicken. So he came back on a Monday. I called him on a Thursday. And he said, okay, I could come over to his house and shower and sleep until the following Monday when I had to go into a program. He didn't care where. He didn't care what. Just someplace not his house. So that's what I did. I stayed on his couch for 3 days and ate everything in his refrigerator. And he put me in a cab and paid for it and said, take him to this address. The rest is your tip. And that's what he did. And 6 months later, I graduate from the program. And then I think I'm going to move back home. If your family loves you, they don't do that. I ended up doing the sober living thing for a little while, 3 years. Recently have moved out. Recently have a place to live where I'm not having to go to their little meetings and tell how my day was and stuff like that. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Everything here in my life has come to me for the last 4 years very slowly. Thank God. Because if I had gotten the things today that I had 2 years ago, I'd be drunk. I'm impatient. I want everything. I want the nicer car and the bigger house and the prettier roommates. And I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and I have exactly what I'm supposed to have. And I go to 6 meetings a week. I have a sponsee. Well, I have 2, but only one calls me. And none of that matters today. What matters today is I talked to another alcoholic, and I came to a meeting tonight, and that's why I'm sober today. Because what I did yesterday doesn't make a difference, and what I do tomorrow is just smoke. All I can tell you is, if you're new, and there were some people that were new, you're in the right place if you're here on a Saturday night, I promise. I'll be right over here if you want to talk to me after the meeting. It'll help me stay sober. And I appreciate all of you for letting me share. Thank you.